with me to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter 12. I've looked at this passage before, looked at it again, seeing a few things just a little bit different. I want to preach on that this morning. I'll not preach long, but I do want your attention. Luke chapter number 12. If we start reading at verse number 13. Luke 12, verse 13. Notice
Scripture, Luke 12, 13. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide an inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who hath made me a judge or divider over you? Verse 15, Jesus says unto him, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Then he gives a parable to illustrate this point, that man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of the things which he gains or possesses in the world. The Bible says that the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, I love how he talks to himself too. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thankful for these eternal truths. God, help us as your people to be rich not in the things of this world, but rich toward you. Father, I want things that this world has to offer, but I don't want them at the expense of not having you. God, help us have our priorities right. Help us to have the right attitude about wealth and money and just life in general this morning. God, help us to see things through your perspective, see things through your lens. God, we might have it right. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Living in this world, it's easy to get a warped perspective on what life is all about. How many of you ever drove down the road and saw somebody with a bumper sticker that says something like this, The fellow that dies with the most toys wins. You ever saw that? Now, there's some people that live their life that way, and they think that somehow they're going to win a prize, and it's the grand prize, is when life comes to an end that they have more toys than everybody else. Some men, they think it's four-wheelers, it's boats. You know, it's another home somewhere else. Maybe it's a jet ski. I don't know. And certain other things that they may want, guns and rifles and bows. And there ain't nothing wrong having those things. I have some of those things myself. I'm not saying that it's wrong having those. That's not what I'm saying at all. But some people want to attain more and more and more, and somehow they think if the more they have, that the closer they're going to be to being satisfied in this world. And that's not how it operates. One of the biggest myths that can never pass a man's thinking is that somehow the more stuff he has, the more content he's going to be. People think, if I could just have this, boy, I'd be happy. Well, guess what? I know a lot of people that have that and they're not happy. What makes you any different? You see, happy sometimes, just being happy is something that can happen momentarily. It doesn't stay. Having true joy is something that you have in your heart that stays with you eternally. And there's a big difference between happiness and joy. Now, Jesus, when he dealt with this individual, verses 13 through 15, the Bible says, Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Listen, the key to joy and the key to having peace and happiness in life is not found in things. It's not in the abundance of the things you have or having more than the other guy when you die. the truth of the matter, our joy is based in a personal relationship with Him. Remember what an important reminder that Jesus gave. I want you to understand, we live during a very materialistic society. Somehow men have got the idea that things satisfy, but things never satisfy. You know, Jesus said, "What? Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things that you're seeking shall be given unto you." Now, I've got news for you. The truth of the matter is that if we'll seek God and His righteousness, what other things was He talking about in that passage in Matthew chapter 6? He was talking about food. He was talking about shelter. He was talking about clothing. I believe He's just talking about joy and life and all those things in Matthew chapter 6. He said, but if you seek those things first, you're not ever going to attain true joy. He said, but if you seek God, you seek Him first and His righteousness, all these other things that you desire, you will receive. You see, the problem is we've got things backward. We're seeking the things of the world trying to find joy. But true joy is found when we seek after God and we'll receive everything we need, whether it's physical, spiritual, it doesn't matter. God will provide those things. Now, I want to say to you, in fact, this look in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. Notice what Jesus said there. He said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth, rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay out for yourselves what? Treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Now notice this statement that Jesus said. He says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart be also." Now I can tell you what, I can tell what you love the most by what you invest the most in. Amen? If you invest in the Lord's work, that tells me you love the Lord. If you invest in just having fun, that tells me you love having fun more than you do the Lord. Don't get quiet on me. Well, we are quiet this morning. I wish somebody would just break out of the mold and say amen. Huh? I mean, I promise you, we're not going to church you over that. If you get up and say, "See my tie, see me tie my tie." Amen. We might talk about that then. Some of y'all figured that out next week. But I want you to understand that Jesus spoke this parable to two young men who were arguing about their inheritance. One of them said, "Lord, won't you tell my brother he needs to split the inheritance with me. He needs to divide to me. I'm not getting my fair shake at this thing." And you know what Jesus said? He said, "Listen here." He said, I'm not a ruler over you. I can't divide this and that to you and settle this matter for you." It amazes me as a preacher sometimes. People be in an argument, and they'll come to me expecting me to settle the argument. Huh? I'm not no ruler. They can just say this is how it is, and you're going to behave this way, and you're going to quit talking that way. I mean, I wish I had that ability because I'd use it on my kids all the time. I got ready to go to church, and two of them were in a fight in the driveway. And I guarantee you could have heard it down at both Rogels on the street could have heard them, I promise you. Arguing and fighting in the driveway. I mean, that's crazy. We're getting ready to go to church. I just got Andrew and he's giving me this number. I mean, can you imagine? And I say, "Yeah, you shut up and you quit." You know what? One of them says something, the other one shoves. So I don't have that ability to be a ruler that just says, "Do this." Now, I can take a belt and strike their rear end, and that does help. But I'm not allowed to do that to adults. I might get whooped. Amen? I might get whooped. I might get thrown in jail. I don't like either one of those possibilities right there. So, Jesus speaks this. And by the way, you know Jesus dealt with more parables about money probably than any other subject. You know why? Because there's more temptations and snares that beset those who possess wealth or seeking to acquire wealth than anything in the world. You look in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. You'll find a passage of Scripture. Just turn there. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to flip over there and I'm going to read it to you. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 this morning. And you'll see what the Scriptures say about wealth. The Bible tells 1 Timothy 6, verse 5. In fact, my Bible don't want to obey me either, so I can't even be rule over my Bible. "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we should carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But notice this. They that will be rich. Those that their motivating factor of getting out of bed every morning is success and riches shall fall into temptation and snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some have coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced them through with many sorrows. And they said to the preacher, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. There's some other things you ought to pursue. And may I say to you, not just the preachers, but everybody ought to pursue after righteousness and godliness. We ought to be trying to please Him. Jesus deals with this parable, gives this story, because there's so many people this day and age that's concerned about what they want to get. They're concerned about self. You'll find this man constantly spoke about I and my. He was concerned about self. He was concerned about all the wrong things. I want to say to you, the mistake. I want you to notice the mistakes he made, and I'll try to make an application just real quick. But number one, the mistakes that he made. The first thing was his happiness was limited to the happenings of the earth. You notice that? His happiness was limited to the happenings upon the earth. The only thing that was going to bring him happiness is what happened here upon this earth. Now, you'll find this man, he went out and planted a garden, and he was success at it. I mean, he planted a farm, apparently. He did real good. In fact, he did so good, he had to build more barns and bigger barns. I mean, he was success. And you know what? You'll read in about verse number 19 that he was somewhat proud of himself because he began to talk to himself. He said, I'll say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I want to tell you what brought him happiness was what happened here upon this earth. If he was successful in his endeavors, he was happy. You catch that? He was happy as long as he was successful in his endeavors. His success brought this man joy in his life. Now, everything seemed wonderful, but I want you to think about that. Those things that happen here upon this earth are just temporary. Just temporary. What if a drought come? It would have destroyed him. If he got too much rain, it would have ruined him. Too many people in this world, and even in our community, their happiness is too dependent upon what happens here on this earth. Many people, they'll be happy as long as financially they're doing well. Man, a lot of people are happy as long as physically, they're doing well. A lot of people's happy as long as their ball team is winning the games. Amen? Man, if that's the case, Kentucky football, we're the most miserable people that ever walked the face of the earth. Amen? Man, we ought to be coming and having a morning service. Amen? We all ought to be crying. We all ought to look disgusted. Well, some of you looked that way this morning. Good news is, Kentucky didn't lose yesterday. Huh? They didn't play yesterday, but they didn't lose yesterday. You know, when I was a little boy, when football season rolled around, I used to get excited. You know why? Because I thought, man, basketball season is just right around the corner. Huh? Man, if our happiness is dependent upon how our teams do, man, when the Colts lost in the Super Bowl, I didn't like it. I mean, I liked it a lot more when they won in the Super Bowl than when they lost in the Super Bowl. I mean, there's times I've watched my team, the Atlanta Braves, I started rooting for them back about 1981-82, okay? I mean, I've been there when they was the bottom of the cellar for years, and finally they got where they was winning some games, and in 95 that they won the World Series. Some of you can't remember that far back, but I got news for you. The only reason I can remember because I rooted for them and I pulled for them for years. And you say, I can't believe, Brother Grant, that you would remember a baseball team when they won their World Series. Okay, when the last time Kentucky won an NCAA national championship? I bet you everybody in here knows that. Amen. But you know what? My happiness is not dependent upon whether or not Kentucky makes it to a Final Four or wins the national championship. Now, we watched the Final Four game in Belize. A guy from Tennessee had a house there and a satellite, and bless his soul,
He let us go watch Kentucky play in the Final Four. They got beat, but you know what? I was just as content that next day as I was that day I got up. Amen? Your happiness cannot be dependent upon whether you win or lose, whether you succeed in the world's eyes or not. Your happiness can't be dependent upon that, or you're going to be miserable. You're not going to have true joy.
Man, I want to tell you, not only that, his holdings were limited to the harvest of the earth.
I mean, the only things that he had, that he really, truly had, was limited to the harvest of the earth.
You see, I want you to notice he was more concerned about himself than anything, because as you read the Scriptures, it says the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said, this will I do. I. Notice that constantly. All through there. I and mine. You know who he's thinking of? He's thinking of self. You want me to tell you why he was thinking of self? Because that's the only person that was really of any value to him. He was a very selfish individual. You see, everything this fool invested in was temporary and it was going to perish. If what you have in this earth is everything you have, I got news for you. You're a fool. You hear me this morning? If everything that you truly possess is just limited to what you're going to gain in this world, you are a fool. You don't have any. Everything here is temporary. Everything here is going to perish with time. Everything here is going to rot away with time. I promise you, most things that we're concerned about, we will have no concern for those things next year. Too many times we are limited to what we do. But I tell you, number three was this. His hopes were limited to the horizons of this earth. You see, he couldn't see past this life. He prepared for this life. He provided. He prepared amply for this life. I mean, he had things stored up. He had money. He had things going on. But he prepared for retirement. He had a great bank account. Everything looked good. I mean, he could look forward to his future with confidence. Why? Because he had everything he had for just this moment of time. His hopes were limited to the horizons of the earth. You say, what are you saying? His plan for the future was faulty, though. Why was it faulty? Because I got news for you, friends. You can plan to live here 100 years, 1,000 years, but one day you're going to die and have to stand before your Creator. And the Bible says that when He said this, that God said, He said, I'll bestow, I'll build bigger rooms, I'll store this up, I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater. Man, I'm going to set back, I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy the remainder of my life. And you know what God said to him? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And who shall those things be? All that you've done, what does it really matter now? It don't matter a bit. We're all one day going to have to cross over. And what we've done for Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to last. Now let me just say to you, there's several lessons that we can get from this parable and the several warnings. And you say, what is the warnings we can get here? Well, you see, a person, he can provide for everything for his future. Some of you may have your nest egg in order. You may be looking forward to retirement. You may be looking forward to being able to quit one job, maybe go to something part-time, do something you enjoy. You may be looking forward to that. But the truth of the matter is, we don't have the promise of tomorrow. We don't have the promise of next year. I got news for you. There's any one of us that's here today could be gone next week. Any one of us be gone. You say, that'll never happen to me. You just don't know. Why do you think that you're so special that it'll never be you? You know, that's what people's problem is. I can't believe it was me. I can't believe I was the one that happened to me. It can happen to any one of us. You want me to tell you what the problem with this man's life? He was so hung up on the things that really wasn't significant at all. He was hung up on the insignificant things of life. He was hung up on making more money. He was hung up on and being a big shot in everybody's eyes, having riches. Those are the things that he was concerned with. I want you to understand, it's good to have money. It's good to have the things that money can buy, provided you don't lose the things that money can't buy. You see, we want to have a big house.
Want to have a nice house, curbside appeal, you can drive up and it looks like something. But you know what? Just because you got a nice house don't mean you have a nice home. I mean, you can have a house and you go inside and everything's picked up out of the floor. It's vacuumed. There's not no spots in the floor. Everything's clean. I mean, the wood floor shine, the tile. I mean, you can eat off of it. The counters are clean. Everything just looked perfect in there. I mean, you have it decorated. I mean, when I was a little boy, everybody was into home interior. I don't even know what you call that stuff now. I mean, I'm just out of the loop. When me and Jill got married, people said, they're going to give us a shower. I said, why do people want to bring us things for a house? I got everything we need. I got those tumbler cups that we got down at McDonald's and the ones we got from Lee's Ford. I said, man, I got everything I need. I got them mason jars, you know, that come in the salsa cups. I didn't think we needed anything. Yeah, I thought we was good, Erton. Amen. Thought we had everything we needed. But you know what? I want to tell you what. You walk in the house this day and it just looks spectacular inside. But you know what? Because it looks good, don't mean that it's a good home. Huh? Man, I tell you what. First several years my boys grew up in Somerset, we had a ball go in the living room. Huh? Now, I'm telling you, we had some fun on that thing, too. Because I taught my boys how to block out. Amen? I taught them how to throw some elbows right there in the living room. Huh? I mean, I loved dunking on them, too. Take that, little boy! Huh? But, man, we had a lot of fun. I mean, we've knocked blinds off the wall, believe it or not, throwing football in there. Jill don't like us throw footballs in the house, but what Jill don't know won't hurt her. Amen? We had fun in that house. We lived in that house. You know what the problem is? So many people are so concerned about everything being nice and the appearance of everything, they can't even live somewhere. I ain't saying you have to act like me, and I'm not getting on you. If you don't do that in your house, that's fine. You don't want to do that. But if we're going to live where we're going to live. Amen? I mean, that's just my thoughts. And you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying sometimes we get hung up on whether the paint's just perfect. Listen, I got news for you. 100 years from now, it don't matter if there's a scuff mark on that wall. Amen? Now, I'll tell you what, I'd rather the kids know that Daddy had fun with them. They know Daddy will jerk a knot in their tail, but they know sometimes Daddy will wrestle with them and throw them, and we'll throw them up against the couch, and the couch fly against the wall. Things like that happen. I mean, man, I'm telling you what, you got to have fun. They got to know that. You see, I want you to understand that the truth of the matter is, I'd rather not put so much emphasis upon the insignificant things of this world, because certain things really does not matter. I don't have to look in my bank book to see how wealthy I am. All I got to do is get up and see that I got three healthy boys. My wife's been sick, but you know what? I believe God's going to touch her. She's going to get. I'm thankful I got a good wife. Man, I'm telling you what. You know what? I know that God has blessed me good. But not only this man, he was concerned about the insignificant things. God help us if we are. But I tell you another thing. We don't need to be. This man, you know what he did? He procrastinated in life. He procrastinated in the things that were significant. You know what was significant? Getting his heart right with God. That was pretty significant. He procrastinated that. Let me tell you something else he procrastinated in. It's getting his spiritual house in order. When it comes time for him to die, all those things he saved up for and stored for, guess what? They were going to be somebody else's. You know what he should have done? He should have put that to work in the Lord's work. Amen? Man, I want to tell you what. God can use our money better than we can. God's the better steward of our riches than we are. I want you to understand that sometimes when you see people, man, they say, I know how to get my heart right with God. Some people have been coming to church week after week and they keep procrastinating, truly repenting of their sins and saying, I'm tired of being out of fellowship with God. Put it off week after week. You know what they're doing? They're procrastinating the things that really do matter. There's people that's lost and undone. So I'll get saved. I'll get right with God when the time's right. Quit procrastinating. If you're lost, you've not been saved, you need to get saved this morning. Let me give you this, number three, and I'll be done. This man lacked the prudence of foresight in that, you see, a wise man, you know what he's going to do? He's going to prepare for his future, is he not? You know, if I'm walking down the road, middle of the road, and the truck's headed straight at me, and that truck's speeding up, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get off the road. Huh? Why? Because I'm trying to make preparations for the inevitable. Let me tell you what happens. I continue to walk, and that truck keeps coming at me, Brother Paul. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to lose. Huh? I'm going to lose.
Let me tell you, judgment's headed straight toward people. Death is headed straight toward people. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I can tell you that you're on a one-way street headed straight towards judgment, and people will still yet go on like they had nothing to worry about. I need for there is something to worry about. If you've not prepared for your future, I want to tell you, you're full, like the Bible says. God said, thou fool, this night thy soul is going to be required of thee. So many people lack the foresight to realize that one day they're going to have to stand before God. And I want to tell you, there's not really many things in this world that really does matter. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What's the most important things to you this morning? Is it your career? Is it things? Is it success? Is it joy? Is it just finding things in this world that brings you happiness? Or is the most important things in your life your family and your faith? Because if it isn't, we need to do a spiritual inventory this morning. Because I don't want to die as a fool dies. Do you? You know, the Bible said Abner, he died as a fool died. God help us to die as a fool this morning. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this opportunity to stand here. I pray that you would speak to hearts. I pray that you would move only. Maybe there's someone here this morning, their life is preoccupied by things that really doesn't matter. I pray, God, that they would get that taken care of this morning. Maybe there's people here, they're procrastinating, getting saved, and they say, I'm going to wait till next week. I'm going to wait till next year. Lord, they don't have promise of next week. They don't have promise of next year. God, you might not speak to that heart the same way, again, that you're speaking to it this morning. So I pray this morning that they'll not procrastinate. They'll respond by faith and be eternally saved. But God, help us to see that the things that are insignificant in this world really doesn't matter at all. Help us as your people to find the things that matter. And Lord, let's seek after those. Now I ask you, every head to remain bowed. If you're here and you've never been saved, you raise your hand and say, Brother Grant, pray for me. I know I need to be saved. Anybody here like that? Raise your hand. Be honest this morning. Say, Brother Grant, I know I need to be saved. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, Brother Grant, there's some things in my life that I know are really insignificant that I make a big ado about. Will you pray for me that I get my priorities right? Anyone here? God bless. I see some hands. Is there others? God bless. Any others this morning? Be honest enough to say there's some things that's not that big of a deal. But I put a lot of significance on them. Will you pray for me? All right. God bless. Father, I pray this morning, have your will and way in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.